Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
The Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. Be looking at verses 22 through 26. As you're turning there, this sermon was a result of some family devotions that my family and I had earlier this week, and I believe it was Monday night, and we had a very thoughtful conversation about these verses, and I felt that it was the Lord leading me to preach on this text. And so, looking at Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26, follow along with me as I read aloud, reminding you that this is God's holy and authoritative and inspired word. Mark chapter 8, beginning with verse 22. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't go, and trust that he will bless it unto us." Let's pause for a moment and go to our Lord in a prayer of illumination. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to see Jesus this evening. We want to see Jesus as he is revealed to us in your word. We want Jesus to be revealed in our lives. And so tonight, Lord, we pray by your Holy Spirit that you will come and show us your grace. Lord, that as we read your word, as we learn of it, as we apply it, Lord, that you will mark us with your truth, that we may know wonderful truths about you, about who we are, and about Christ. And so, Lord, we pray, as the psalmist says, open our eyes, but our but open our souls to your word. Hear us, we pray, for it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. And let us say, amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you've heard of the term the blind leading the blind. There's a story I came across as I was studying for this passage where a person blind from birth had been able to navigate around town with his cane, and lo and behold, as he's standing there ready to cross the street, he feels a hand on his shoulder and he says, "Sir, could you help a blind person across the street?" As the story goes, he said, "Why not? Let's do it." And so after many horns blaring and tires squealing and the angry voices that are yelling, they made it across. And I introduce us to another blind man. He's about to experience something much greater than crossing a busy intersection. He's about to witness Jesus Christ himself, to see him with his own eyes, to behold him. Tonight, as we read this passage, we are going to come across maybe one of the more bizarre miracles of Christ, if I can use that term. It's not very often that we see Jesus Christ spitting. We hear of him speaking, we hear of him touching, but we don't often see him spitting. But this man is about to behold his Savior. Jesus and his men here return to Bethsaida. They have crossed the Sea of Galilee. They've witnessed the feeding of the 4,000 in the beginning of verse 8. Interestingly, in verse 14 of chapter 8, as they're crossing the Sea of Galilee, the disciples realize they've forgotten bread except for one loaf. Remember that when they fed the 4,000, that Jesus divided up the loaves and divided up, they had seven loaves, and they had seven baskets left over. And as God in his providence, they would cross and realize that they had only one loaf. And that's when Jesus teaches them about the Pharisees, about Herod. And one of the things that you're going to find, and if you have your Bibles open, I encourage you tonight to look at that, to have those open. Verse 17, as they're discussing it, Jesus says these words. Verse 18, "Do you have eyes but fail to see? Do you have eyes and fail to see?" And then we have this miracle that follows. And it's much more than just simply Jesus restoring sight to this blind man. Jesus is about to teach his disciples about blindness to make sure that they have eyes that are not failing to see. Last time they were in Bethsaida, Jesus in chapter 6, Jesus had healed many of their sick. And now he returns, and a certain group of people bring a blind man to Jesus. They want him to do another miracle. They beg Jesus to touch him. Some scholars suggest these were likely Gentiles who have realized that there's something powerful about the touch of Christ. They're about to get much more. Jesus here, this is miracle, is going to be in our morning services. Pastor Igo's been going through Luke. We've been going through some of the parables of various parables of Jesus found only in the Gospels of Luke. See what I've learned in the last 2 weeks I've been here. What we find here is Jesus here is going to teach them a parable in action about how God opens the eyes of the spiritually blind. And it's going to come to full, it's going to come full circle in the passage that follows, and we're going to look at that here in just a couple of minutes. And so tonight, we must ask the same question Jesus asks. Do you see anything? Do you see anything? And that's a question we must ask. And it's not just simply do we physically see things, but do we spiritually see who Jesus truly is? Do we truly understand who Jesus has done, what Jesus has done for you and for me? Nothing else, as this blind man will state. And so my prayer is that we find some hope in this passage. My prayer is that we find some help in this passage. My prayer is that we are blessed by this passage, by these words that we find here in Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. So if you have your Bibles open, let's look at this passage. And I'm gonna look at it in three parts, as every good Reformed pastor does, 3 points. And so here's our 3 points. First point tonight that I want you to consider is this: the preparation for this man's healing, the preparation. What's the first thing that Jesus does when he hears the requests of the people here? What does it say? Well, they come, they beg him to touch him, and so what does he do? He takes the blind man by the hand and leads him outside the village. He leads him away from the gatherers who maybe be watching him. He takes him away from the pros who guided him to Jesus. He takes them and simply goes and outside the village. Remember, these men are begging Jesus to touch him, to heal him. And Jesus does touch him, and nothing happens. Nothing profound happens. Jesus takes him, leads him out of town. Jesus does this, by the way, with the deaf and mute man in Mark chapter 7 as well. So this is not the first time Jesus leads them away. There are some people who think that the reason why that Jesus led them away was so that crowds wouldn't gather, that they wouldn't be crushed by the crowds as they have done in the past. Jesus takes this man from the men who guided him, and Jesus takes him in part to show him that he is the one guide that he needs. That he's the one guide he needs. Isn't he the guide that we need too? Isn't he the one that we need in our lives? So you see, what are people that's accustomed to touch? What do we do at the beginning of a morning service? Pastor Igo stands and says, let's stand and greet one another in the Lord. We shake hands. We might give hugs. It's a simple greeting, a common gesture. It's not threatening. It's not necessarily aggressive. It's a way of saying, hello, it's good to see you this morning. It's one thing to shake a hand, but it's another to hold it. It's another to hold it. Remember the first time you held hands with your spouse? Maybe it was the first date. Or maybe there was that time that you held a hand of someone who was in desperate need, a hospital visit, and praying for that person. During that time of crisis, there's something intimate about a holding of a hand. And Jesus here is going to demonstrate to this blind man that there's something much more to Jesus than simply his touch. Jesus is saying, I care. That Jesus will lead him to restore his sight. And Jesus offers that hand to us as well. Jesus leads us and guides us if we live by faith and not by sight. There's events that occur in our lives. There's circumstances that arise. There are tragedies that we may encounter. And there's blessings that we have been joyously given. And each one of them has been given to us by our Lord. And he is bringing us through each and every one of them. You see, on our own, we're not going to find Christ. On our own, we're not going to see him. When the question arises, do you see anything? On our own, we're going to say, no, I don't. If anything else, we're going to go, if we're just going to turn our backs, we're going to go somewhere else. But Jesus reaches out to you and to me. And doesn't just simply touch, but grasp our hand. There's so many songs I could have chosen to sing tonight. I was thinking about singing, He Leadeth Me. By his own hand, he leadeth me. Do you know that embrace? Do you know that feeling of knowing that Christ is guiding us? That he's reached out to us and has said, trust in me. Remember, this man is blind. You know, I know some of our, I know our teens, you know, given the opportunity to lead someone blind when you play the game of the trust game, and I know some of our teens, and I'm not going to look at anybody in particular, but I know some of our teens would likely lead somebody who's blind into walls and make them fall downstairs, and I just know that's going to happen, but Jesus doesn't. Jesus takes this blind man to exactly where he wants him to be. to heal him, to restore his sight. So our first point, the preparation. Jesus taking his hand and guiding him away from everything else to have that one-on-one time to reveal himself to this man. Not just the physical sight, but a spiritual sight as well. So that just leads us to our second point, and that is the process. The process of his healing. Now, this is the only miracle that's recorded in Scripture that is done in stages. It's done in stages. Jesus, when he would heal people, would either touch them, he would speak to them, and they were healed. And here we find two stages, two steps that it takes for Jesus to open this man's blind eyes. One commentator said this, that this reminds us that we can't put God in a box. We can't assume that God is going to work in everybody's lives in the same way. Jesus raises three people from the dead in the Gospels. Each one was different. He touched Jairus' daughter. He touched the stretcher of the widow of Nain's son, and he spoke to Lazarus. He healed one leper by touching. He healed 10 lepers by speaking. And sometimes he would go to the sick, and sometimes the sick would come to him, and sometimes he'd heal them from a distance. God doesn't work in the same way all the time. Some of us know that. Some of us know what it's like to have that awe, that awe-inspiring life-shaking experience of having God reveal himself to us. And others of us here have been raised in the church, and this is something we've come to know and love. And when we're asked, well, when did you know that you knew Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Some of us go, I don't really have a specific day. God opens blind eyes in different ways, at different times, in different circumstances. So we can Jesus Christ not in a box here. But yet what we can all agree on is if we know Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, that should fill us with praise, that should fill us with joy in knowing him and having our faith in him and him alone. And what Jesus here is about to teach this blind man, it's not about the experience, it's simply about knowing Jesus Christ. It's about knowing who he is. It's about believing in him. And so what does Jesus do? Well, the first thing he does is he spits in the man's diseased eyes. And to us, that may sound really disgusting. I think if we'd all agree, if someone spit in our face, I don't think we'd be saying, oh, this is so nice of him. I think the gloves would be off. I think it'd be ready to rumble. But you see, in ancient times, people believed that there was some sort of healing power in your saliva. Interesting, kids, if you cut your finger, what's one of the first things you may do? You stick it in your mouth. And maybe for some of you, that's the last thing you'd want to do. But the natural tendency is to be put it in our mouth. It's like, okay, it's bleeding, I could do something with it. So maybe we're not all that different. Jesus, here, as we find in verse 23, he takes him by the hand, he leads him outside the village, he spits on the man's eyes, he puts his hands on him, and Jesus asks, do you see anything? And look at what he says in verse 24. He looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. Now, this tells us a few things. First of all, it tells us that this man has not been always blind. That he was able to identify the people around him. He knew that they were people. This also teaches that his healing was far from complete. He could discern the light, he could discern shapes, but he couldn't see clearly yet. Now, one thing we do need to make sure that we understand, and kids, I want you to pay very close attention to this. What we don't want you to think is that Jesus was unable to heal him on the first try. Because that's what the tendency we want to do. We want to say, well, if Jesus could speak and Jesus could touch, why did it take two stages for Jesus to heal this man? Remember what I said at the very beginning. Jesus is using this as an illustration to his disciples. And this is not the first time either that Jesus used healing of people to teach his disciples something. Remember what I said in verse 18. Do you have eyes but fail to see? And there are so many who have eyes but fail to see Jesus as who he is. Some of us, maybe even here in this room this evening, may be missing Jesus Christ and maybe have eyes but don't see who he is. We assume, well, because we're raised in the church, that we know who he is. We may think, well, it's because I'm here on the evening worship service. I must know Jesus. That's why I'm here. I may know all the right answers. I may be able to recite to you the catechism in every version. I may be able to even recite the larger in the confession of faith. But that isn't enough to know who Jesus Christ is. It's believing him. There are far too many people who live by sight and not by faith. We're one of those people to say, I'll believe it when I see it. We're like the blind leading the blind. Jesus has shown his disciples he's the Son of God. Think about these disciples. They have seen him heal the sick. They've seen him cast out demons. They've seen him raise the dead. They've seen him walk on water. They've seen him multiply bread and fish, not once but twice. And other miracles that Jesus has performed. They've heard his teachings. They have walked with him. They have heard him teach. And yet Jesus is saying to his disciples, in one sense, he is saying to his disciples, look, this man is just like you. This man is just like you. You have eyes, but you fail to see who I truly am. You're partially healed, but you don't see clearly yet. You see men, but they're men like walking trees. The Bible even says they don't even fully comprehend who Jesus is until after he died and after he rose from the dead. Jesus is saying to his disciples, look, you need your eyes open. And that's what we need. And that's the message that we bring forth in our evangelism. That's what we bring as we talk with people. Because there are far too many people who think they're seeing the truth, but the reality is they're blind leading the blind. We need more open eyes. There's still room for us to learn. There's still room for us to grow in our understanding of Jesus Christ. There's room as we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's room for us to have our eyes open more and more to trust in him, to believe in who he said he really is. Our world wants to tell you that Jesus is nothing but a fake, a fraud, a make-believe story. I even came across a terminology this past week. I was stunned to see it. It was Christian atheism, where they believe in the Bible, but basically Jesus Christ and God is basically an analogy for human reason and good works. There are people who believe that Jesus simply is a good teacher, that Jesus is simply a great storyteller. They might even say he's a miracle worker, but they deny who Jesus Christ truly is. They don't believe he's the Messiah. To them, Jesus is just a walking tree. They don't understand what the church is all about. They don't understand why we're here, why we do the things that we do. They look at the church, they look at Christians as simply being walking trees. But Jesus here is revealing to his disciples that he is the Messiah. He is the one who does the astounding, the incredible, and the impossible. So do you see anything? Do you see Jesus Christ as he truly is? Because you don't want to miss, you don't want to miss who he really is. You don't want to be someone who only sees him the way you want to see him, or the way you think he should be seen. Jesus puts his hands on this man's eyes once more. Notice what it says in verse 25. His eyes were open, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. His physical eyes fell upon his Savior, his healer, his guide, the Messiah. It was no longer just a walking tree. It was no longer a tree herder from the Lord of the Rings. It was the real deal. So what about you? Do you see anything? Do you see Jesus Christ as who he is? Do you believe in him as your Lord and your Savior? Are you willing to have him be your guide? Are you willing to walk as he walked? Are you willing to follow him? That's the process of his healing. But that leads us to a third point. And that is what I'll call the postscript of his healing. Verse 26. Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't go into the village." This powerful miracle with a powerful message to teach his disciples about how about saying to them that you without really knowing who I truly am, you're like this man. It ends on a sad note. Jesus tells the healing man to not return. Don't go back in the village. Go home. This is not the first time Jesus will tell somebody that. It's not time for him to be revealed. But there's something different about this one. You see, if you look at Luke chapter 9, Bethsaida is near the place where Jesus feeds the 5,000. They were given clear evidence that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, but they refused to believe in him. They refused to believe in it. And so Jesus, later on in Matthew chapter 11, verse 21, says these words, "Woe unto you, Chorazin! Woe unto you, Bethsaida! The mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon. They would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it would be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you." Bethsaida was different. They wouldn't have believed it if they saw it for themselves. They had eyes but failed to see. Just like Jesus told the disciples. Just like Jesus taught the disciples as he was healing this man. They reject the Lord because of their unbelief. They rejected the light that had been given to them. They would receive no more light. And so Jesus takes this man out of town and heals him, tells him not to return. Don't go into the village. Don't start broadcasting who isn't going to believe it if you see it or if they've seen it. They would simply be the blind leading the blind. And yet, Jesus opens this man's eyes. And Jesus still opens eyes. Some of us come from families whose eyes haven't been opened. Some of us may live in communities in which there's a lot of darkened people whose eyes have been darkened to the truth. Jesus still opens blind eyes. He continues to save. He continues to take people by the hand and continues to lead them and to guide them where he desires them to go. Sinclair Ferguson says in his commentary this, quote, "Only as Jesus keeps on opening our eyes to him will we see him clearly." Only as Jesus keeps opening our eyes to him, we will see him clearly. Shouldn't that be our prayer? Lord, open my eyes to more and more to see you as you are, to see you as my Lord, to see you as my Savior. Open my eyes to see the places that I can go and tell others about you. And how are our eyes opened more and more? It's as we study God's word, as we spend time in prayer, as we witness for him, as we fellowship with the saints, as we worship him, we grow. We grow and we're guided. We grow as in our knowledge. We grow in his grace. In the armor of God, there is one that protects us from the fiery darts of the evil one. It's the shield of faith. It weans us, as one commentator says, it weans us from all forms of self-sufficiency and self-reliance and self-absorption. Faith is the eyes that see. Faith is the ears that hear. Faith is the hands that embrace. And that faith is in the one Son of God, Jesus Christ. So do you see anything? The disciples were taught a very valuable lesson on how they've seen many things with their eyes, but they haven't really seen it all. It's very interesting that in the very next section of Mark, Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" And that's when Peter gives this great confession. "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." And then Jesus begins to open their eyes more. It says in verse 31, "He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again." It's after this that Jesus says, "Look, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." To open your eyes of faith and trust in me, that I will give you rest. Do you see anything? Or are you simply just another blind person being led by another blind person? Because if that's the case, then we need to repent. And we need to follow the one who can lead us, the one who can guide us, the one who doesn't just simply touch us, but embraces us and tells us that no one can snatch him from my Father's hand. All that the Lord, all the Father has given me, I will by no means cast out. It's following Jesus Christ. In conclusion, our spiritual vision needs to be sharpened, and I conclude with words of Paul. Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, where Paul writes this to the church, to the Ephesians. He says this, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. May that be our prayer for one another. May that be our prayer as we consider our invitations to Easter, as we look for the opportunities to share the Word of God with others, as we lead our families in devotions, as we encourage our children in their walk. May we pray for each and every one of us that the eyes of our hearts will be enlightened so that we may know. Do you see anything? My prayer is that we see Jesus, not just with our physical eyes as we read his word, or as we have our Sunday school papers, or as we read a book, but my prayer is that we indeed see Jesus with the eyes of faith, that we fix our eyes upon him, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, it's easy for us to look at this passage and say, we're not blind. We know who you are. But Lord, if we're honest, Lord, we recognize we don't always see clearly, that we don't always express our faith as we ought to, that we're only half-heartedly following you as a disciple. Lord, give us hearts, give us eyes that desire you, that want to see you, that we may clearly see what you've called us to do and to be. Lord, may we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear our prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name, and let all of God's people say, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.